You're listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And joining us today in studio, Ron Chmielis, columnist with the Springfield Republican newspaper, and Larry Parnas, investigations editor with the Berkshire Eagle, who's on the line with us today. Ron, Larry, it's good to have you alongside today.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Adam.
We start this week in Berkshire County, where General Electric and several stakeholders reached a deal on the next phase of cleaning up the Housatonic River. GE polluted it with PCB-laden materials decades ago. A key point, the waste that is the most toxic will be sent out of state, but some lower-level waste will be disposed of locally. Roger Martella is an attorney for GE.
This is a far better alternative to more years of protracted litigation, which would delay the cleanup and extend the uncertainty.
Larry, this has been a very complicated situation lasting years and years, but what's the big takeaway for you from this deal?
The significance is that this does appear to be able to set aside the likelihood of ongoing litigation. That's not totally out of the picture because there are people in the region who still don't like the idea of even one local PCB landfill. But, you know, it was 20 years ago that the rest of river cleanup beyond the 2 miles of river that had been dealt with in Pittsfield was first proposed. And it could have been another 10 years before it began. So this really steps it up. And as many people were pointing out, you know, if you don't like the idea of a landfill, what is the river right now? It is an unlined, unburied landfill containing 1 million cubic yards of sediments with PCBs.
Larry, you mentioned opposition to the deal. The Housatonic River Initiative is one group that does oppose it. It's an environmental group. And it's Dave Gibbs says none of the PCB waste should be disposed of locally.
My mission is to get rid of it. And while we would have liked to sign it, we can't go along with the toxic dumps, period.
Ron, did the residents of Berkshire County get a good deal here?
Well, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on this. What my instinctive reaction is probably so. You know, if I'm a resident up there and I hear, if we don't do this, there will be all this litigation, that almost sounds like a hostage threat type of thing. So I'm sympathetic to what they're saying. But the environmentalists, they want a zero-sum option. They want it all. If you want it all, it's going to take forever for that to happen. My gut feeling is this is a pretty decent deal.
Moving on to politics, the first in the nation New Hampshire presidential primaries were held earlier this week, and the Massachusetts contingent of candidates didn't exactly fare well. Elizabeth Warren finished a distant fourth with about 9% of the Democratic vote. Former Governor Deval Patrick got less than 1%, and former Republican Governor Bill Weld also had about 9% in his challenge of President Trump. Ron Patrick has since left the race. Any surprise there?
I think the surprise was that he got in the race. He's going to be an anecdotal figure in this race. He got in too late. A lot of the people who might have supported him and worked for him had already committed to other people. So it's a little confusing to me why he decided this late to do that. Apparently, he thought maybe New Hampshire was a place next door to Massachusetts where he could make some impact. But like Warren, that didn't work for him. He never got it off the ground.
Larry, what about Warren? It wasn't that long ago she was up there in the polls.
Yeah, I think these are interesting days for her. You know, back to Deval, if you don't mind, he was styling himself as the alternative moderate, but there still are moderates in the field that New Hampshire voters seem to prefer. I thought he might have gone on to see how he could do in South Carolina, but when you come in behind the write-ins in this, it's just really hard to hold your head up and move forward.
Also this week, Massachusetts Attorney General Mara Healey sued vaping giant Juul Labs, saying the company targeted minors with its products. Healey says the nation's biggest e-cigarette maker is responsible for creating a youth vaping epidemic.
Juul's own documents show that the company intentionally chose fashionable models and images that appeal to young people for its ads.
A Juul spokesman says the company plans to work with regulators and public health officials to, quote, combat underage use. Larry, Healey has sued other vape-related companies in the past. What do you think about her action this week?
Well, I think it's really totally out of her playbook. You know, she plays hardball with people who she feels are damaging the public interest. She ran a roughly 18-month investigation, and then she spent some time preparing a pretty slick 2-minute video, which I think you may have been quoting from there, which is essentially her opening argument in this case. I think if you listen to that presentation, it's clear that this company set out to entice teenagers into the trap of nicotine addiction. And that, I think, ranks as a important public policy and public health issue that we would hope that an attorney general would step up to. Meantime, one of her predecessors, Martha Coakley, is now working for Juul.
Ron, other states have also sued Juul, and of course, Massachusetts has banned all flavored vape products. Will this industry survive all of this, and should it?
Well, I'm not a big fan of it, so the second part of that question, I have no sympathy for it. But saying that, I think it will probably survive in some form. I will say this about Healy. At times, I think maybe she goes too much into the lawsuit route. But as Larry said, she's very prepared. She doesn't just jump into this. She's got plenty of documentation, plenty of background, and a serious case. As far as the industry, I think it's going to be a shrunken version of what they expect it to be.
And let's wrap up this week with something of a little bit warmer nature than the weather outside, baseball. This week, as pitchers and catchers reported to spring training, the Red Sox finalized a deal to trade star outfielder Mookie Betts and pitcher David Price to the Dodgers. Boston also named Ron Renicki as interim manager after Alex Cora departed over the sign-stealing scandal. Ron, are the Red Sox in trouble before the season even begins?
No, they still have a lot of talent. You know, and I defend them to a great degree on Mookie. They're getting hammered in public relations. But as I mentioned to you off here, no team has won by investing multi-millions, $500 million into one player. Those are not the teams that win. The teams that have tried that have come up short. And I think the Red Sox understand that. People will be screaming and hollering unless they get off to a good start. They need pitching.
Larry, look into your crystal ball. Do you foresee a long season at Fenway Park this year?
It's going to be a great season. And you know what? Reading some fan comments about this decision about Mookie Betts and David Price, people just want to see the game played. It's going to be interesting when the player Alex Verdugo comes to the plate. You know, he's going to get booed, and it's a tough time to be in his jersey. I think there's a lot of things that fans don't understand about this game, and I count myself in them, like competitive balance tax and the arcane financials. I think if players play the game well and the fans having a good time, it'll work out.
All right, Larry Parnas of the Berkshire Eagle and Ron Chmielewski with the Republican, thanks for being with us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. You can also listen to us wherever you get your podcasts or by going to nepr.net/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.